Today's podcast is sponsored by RadRx, your source for quality online education for interventional and diagnostic radiology coding, taught by subject matter expert Stacy Buck. For more information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Struggling to learn interventional radiology coding? If so, RadRx has the perfect solution for you. Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology online training program. In this program, interventional radiology coding expert Stacy Buck breaks down the complexities of interventional radiology coding in easy-to-understand terms so you can grasp this complex specialty. Through her course, Stacy has assisted many coders with little or no interventional radiology coding experience in successfully passing the CIRC exam on the first attempt. For additional information and testimonials, visit RadRx.com. Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says, a podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Stacy Buck.
Welcome to Who Cares What Stacy Says. I am your host, Stacy Buck. In today's episode, Contract Medical Coding, Is It Right for You?, I will be sharing the pros and cons of becoming a contract medical coder. Now, to many coding professionals, the idea of contract coding can be very attractive, and while there are some advantages to being a contract coder, there are also disadvantages that need to be considered. Contract coding will not be a good fit for everyone, so it's important to carefully evaluate the pros and cons as they relate to your particular circumstances. The information that I'm providing in today's podcast is based on how most arrangements are structured when it comes to contract coding opportunities, but please keep in mind that some contracts may have different terms, and each contract that you're considering should be reviewed carefully. So let's jump right in and talk about the pros and cons. I think one of the biggest pros of being a 1099 contract coder is flexibility with your schedule. You actually have the ability to determine the number of hours and days that you work each week. Now, some contract opportunities may require you to give them, say, a minimum of 20 hours per week, but then you have flexibility in determining what days you actually work and when you put in those hours. Some contracts may not require a minimum number of hours. It could just be simply, you know, as you're available, if your contract is set up for you to work on a per diem basis. When I used to have a large group of contract coders working for me, what I would do is I would go to the group and I would ask each person in the group, how many hours can you give me this week? So there was variability. I didn't have a minimum number of hours that my contractors were required to give me as part of their contract. But what I did ask was that every week they gave me the number of hours that they would be available and be able to work. And then I could schedule around that and make sure that I was able to meet the client's needs. So with my contract coders that I was using, there was a lot of flexibility for them from week to week. You may want to consider, before you step out and try to do contract coding full-time, I usually recommend that you try doing contract coding on the side part-time. So if you currently have a full-time job and you're considering contract medical coding, you may want to seek a per diem opportunity and start there to see if contract coding actually is a good fit for you. You wouldn't want to step out and give up the job security of a full-time job for contract coding, which leads me into the cons on the other side. So while you have flexibility of schedule and you can determine the number of hours and days you work each week, there is a degree of uncertainty with contract coding, and there is definitely a lack of job security. When you are a 1099 contract coder, there is no guarantee of work and contracts may be terminated at any time. And that happens. And I know I've seen coders who have taken on contract opportunities are upset because the assignment ends up being shorter than they anticipated, and they find themselves abruptly without work with that particular contract. Now, I will say this as someone who employs contract coders, that as the employer, sometimes that is beyond my control. Just like I have a contract with my 1099s, I also have a contract with my clients, and I have had clients abruptly cancel contracts with no notice. They are supposed to fulfill terms of contracts. They are supposed to give notice when contracts are being terminated, but there are times that that doesn't happen. So when the contract is abruptly terminated by the client, unfortunately, that's going to abruptly terminate the work for the contract coder. So while I understand that the contract coder may be upset with the company that they've been working for, the contract coder needs to understand that there is another person involved in that process. And believe me, the coding company would love to be able to keep sending you work. We do not want to cut you. We do not want to cut work. But if you are cut, it is because our work has been cut and we are not receiving the work. So anyway, that is probably one of the biggest cons to contract medical coding, is that there is no guarantee of work and it can end abruptly, which of course also is going to tie into pay. Now, if you're currently working as a full-time W-2 employee, you know that you will be getting a paycheck every 1 to 2 weeks, and the amount is going to be the same. There's a minimum amount that you know that you're going to get every 1 to 2 weeks. So if you need a guarantee of a minimum amount of money and steady work, then contract coding is definitely not going to be for you because there is so much uncertainty. While it can be very lucrative and you can make good money doing contract coding, there's the flip side of the work abruptly going away and then you don't have any income coming in. So that ties into my next pro and my next con. So one of the other pros of being a contract medical coder, in addition to having the flexibility with your schedule, is earning a higher rate of pay. Often with contract coding opportunities, you will be paid a per case rate or a per chart rate. And by getting paid on productivity when you're being paid on a per case rate, then that can lead to a very high hourly rate when you are doing your coding. So that can be a benefit to you where you're working fewer hours and you're making more money. So let's say you're accustomed to working in a job where you're making a $30 an hour wage. Now you've gone over and you're doing contract medical coding and you're getting paid on a per case rate. And you're one of those coders that actually has a high accuracy rate and a high speed. Now you may be making $60 an hour, $70 an hour as a contract medical coder doing the same type of work because you have that speed and accuracy. So if you are one of those coders, then contract coding may be a great fit for you for that reason, because you will make a higher hourly rate that way. Now, if you're being paid an hourly wage as a contract coder, which some contracts are set up that way, you will be paid a higher hourly wage in most cases than if you were working for that same entity as a full-time employee. So there is a higher hourly wage that can be earned. However, what you need to consider when you're getting the higher rates of pay for your contract work, whether it be a higher hourly rate, whether it be that you're being paid a per chart rate, a per case rate, is that no taxes are being withheld when you are paid. So that's going to be an issue. Also, you have no benefits when you're working as a 1099 employee. So when you're working strictly as a contract employee, as a 1099, you will need to pay for your own health insurance. You don't get any paid time off. If you don't work, you don't get paid. So you don't have a lot of the fringe benefits that you would as a W-2 employee. So again, no health insurance, no dental insurance, life insurance, disability, retirement savings, you know, benefits, those types of things are not going to be available to you as a 1099 employee. And I was reading something recently where it talked about the average cost of employee benefits and what those equate to on an hourly basis. And it was saying on average, those benefits that the employer is paying for it's roughly $11 an hour. So whatever your hourly rate is right now that you're at with a particular employer, you can add another $11 an hour on top of that at a minimum. In some cases, it may be more depending upon the types of benefits the full-time employer would be offering and what the cost of those benefits is. So think about that. So if you're making $25 an hour, really, with what the employer is covering for you in benefits, you're making $36 an hour. So you're already being paid a higher rate of pay as a W-2, but the benefits are like coming out before it hits your paycheck. So you need to do that math and factor that in there. Now, if you are in a situation where you're married and your spouse has health insurance and other benefits through their employer, then maybe that's not important to you. Maybe you don't need those other benefits. If that's the case, then contract coding may be a good fit for you if benefits are not of concern. I can tell you, being self-employed, it can be costly to then go out and get benefits on your own and then have to pay for those out of your own pocket versus when an employer is paying them for you. That is probably the number one thing that I miss about being that full-time employee working for someone else, is getting the health insurance paid for and getting other benefits. Those do not come when you're working for yourself. And as a 1099 employee, you are, even if you haven't established a company, you are your own business and you're responsible for other expenses that an employer would have otherwise been responsible for. Which brings me into taxes. Probably the biggest consideration for contract medical coding that you need to look at for your particular set of circumstances are the tax ramifications of becoming a 1099 contract employer. Because as a 1099, the company that you're working for isn't withholding any taxes for you whatsoever. So you are responsible for paying all of your taxes. So as a 1099 worker, you are considered self-employed. And so you are going to be paying the employer's portion of taxes and the employee's portion of taxes. So what does that mean? You as an employee, when you're working for another company as a W-2 full-time employee, you will see coming out of your paycheck 7.65% for your FICA tax, which is going to be your Social Security and your Medicare deduction. So that's 7.65% when you're working as a full-time W-2 somewhere else. When you're a 1099 and you're working independently, now you, because you're considered self-employed, you now have to pay the employer's portion of that. So what you'll be doing is paying 15.3%. You're going to pay 7.65% as the employee, and you're going to pay 7.65% as the employer. So that increases your tax liability there. And then in addition to that, you're also going to have to worry about federal withholding tax. That's not coming out of that money before you get it. And then if you're in a state that has state income tax, then you're going to have to factor that in as well. So that is probably the biggest challenge of being a 1099, is understanding the tax ramifications and then making sure that you are setting aside enough money to pay for your taxes. Now, as a general rule, it's recommended that when you're working as a 1099, for all the money that comes in, that you set aside at least 30% of your income for taxes. So that's a big chunk of money. So while you're looking at the hourly rate, or you're looking at your production rate and you're seeing the total that you're getting paid, you're like, wow, I'm making a lot more as a contractor. Yes, you are, when we're looking at an hourly rate. But whatever your total is that you're making as a contractor, deduct 30% of that as a minimum, and that is going to go towards your tax liability. So are you really making more money in a situation like that? So let's say, you know, you're making $30 an hour as a full-time employee, and then you go over and you're making $50 an hour as a contract employee in that situation. So if you're making $50 an hour, if you take 30% of that out, that's $15, then that's taking you down to $35 an hour as opposed to your $30 an hour as a full-time employee. So you're making $5 more per hour, but again, if you have walked away from benefits and you're having to pay your own benefits, you may end up actually making less. So that's why it's very important to do the math and get a really good handle on how much you're actually going to be making, because the numbers can be deceiving. Now, what you can do if you're not sure about what the potential tax liability may be when you're considering an opportunity, you can simply do a Google search for a self-employment 1099 tax calculator, and multiple links will come up, and you can put in the amount of money that you'll be making and then plug in the other applicable selections, and then it's going to give you an estimated amount. But again, a general rule is about 30%. Now, the other challenge with the taxes is that when you're self-employed, because you have to pay your own, you really should be making quarterly tax payments. You actually, I believe you get penalized if you're not making quarterly tax payments once you make over $7,500 a quarter. At least it was like that a really long time ago. I don't know if something has changed. I don't keep up with all the tax like rules and regulations and all that. I have an accountant that does that like for me and takes care of my tax filings. I don't do that. I have a payroll company that does my quarterly filings. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to deal with that headache. But you need to be making quarterly tax payments. That will also prevent you from getting into trouble where you've gone a whole year without paying like any taxes. And then when you are filing your tax return, then you end up with this huge tax liability because you paid no taxes at the end of the year. And myself working as a 1099 and having my own business, I have been in this situation where I end up with a huge tax liability when not enough is paid in during the course of a year. I've seen other people who have worked for me who were making really good money as 1099s. Then when it came time to pay their taxes, they ended up having a huge tax liability. And then they needed to set up payment plans with the IRS, or just friends that I know that work as 1099s. You know, they don't work for me necessarily, but hearing their stories, again, they are getting stuck at the end of the year with a high tax bill that they either have to pay, or if they don't have the money, then they have to set up a payment plan with the IRS. Now, I've been in that situation in past years. I know what that's like. That is a bad situation to be in because the IRS charges you penalties for not paying enough in, and then they charge you a lot of interest when you're on a payment plan, and it can be very difficult to break that cycle once you are caught in it. So it's very important that you pull that money out for taxes and you're paying them quarterly. So with all of that said, what I always say to anybody that is looking at this as a career choice, making this leap, is I say consult tax and financial advisors for your particular situation. It's very important, and you want to have someone working with you and guiding you and advising you to make sure that you stay on point with your taxes, you're paying in the appropriate amount of money, and you're not stuck with owing like interest and penalties and then paying the IRS for years. That's not a good place, to be in there. So that's probably the biggest challenge, I think, in being the 1099 is managing that tax liability and making sure that during the course of the year, you're paying in quarterly and that you're making sure that that's covered so you don't get stuck with that high tax bill at the end of the year. And as a 1099, as I said, you really are your own business, so you have to treat it as such. Now, there are some ways that you can possibly minimize your tax liability. You could file as an S corporation. You can file as a limited liability corporation. Those are some options that can help you reduce tax liability. So again, that is why you would want to consult an accountant or a tax advisor, a financial advisor, and discuss your particular financial situation so they can get you set up, you know, with the best footing before you go out into this world of being a 1099 contract coder. So I just told you about the cons related to taxes. Now let's talk about one of the pros related to taxes. And that is your expenses are going to be tax deductible. So while it may be a con that you need to provide your own equipment, you need to provide your own materials, you need to purchase liability insurance for errors and omissions, those types of business expenses, those will come out of your pocket, but they also are going to be tax deductible. Now, again, your expenses may be minimal. So if you're posting minimal expenses against a high rate of income, then maybe you're not going to reap that much of a tax benefit, but know that those expenses are now going to be tax deductible. So that is where, going back to the cons, as the 1099, you're responsible for providing everything that you need to do the work as a 1099. Now, some places may provide access to certain things for you to do the job. So again, this goes back to what I said earlier. Every contract is going to be a little bit different. Every assignment is going to be a little bit different. But if you look at the expectation of what a 1099 employee is, and you look at the IRS requirements of determining who's a 1099 and who's a W-2, then the expectation is that the 1099 is the one that is providing everything that they need to do the assignment, and those things are not actually provided by the employer. With that said, you may need access to certain software, you know, that the employer is providing to you as a 1099 if you need it for that particular client. And finally, one last thing that I want to mention that I put over in the con list here is that with certain contracts, often there will be a non-compete clause in the particular contract. And these non-compete clauses will specify a certain period of time before you can accept employment from the company who has the contract. So let's say I, RadRx, have a contract with XYZ healthcare provider, and then I hire you as a 1099 to work that contract for me. What will be standard in my contract is a non-compete where you cannot go work for XYZ company directly for them as an employee for a period of, say, 12 months. Some might be 18 months, whatever the case may be. So that's something that you'll want to pay attention to in any of the contracts that you'll be signing, because sometimes there are also penalties spelled out in that contract for violating a non-compete. So that's just another consideration. As I said, I put it in the con list. I don't really feel like that's like a major con, but just something that you need to be aware of when you're reviewing your contracts and considering whether or not you want to accept the terms. So where do you find contract coding positions? So you've listened to me talk about the pros and cons, and now you're thinking that it might be a right fit for you. Well, often the contract coding positions are going to be with vendors, those companies that are out there that are providing outsourcing of coding services, outsourcing of auditing services, those types of things. That's where you're going to want to look. It is rare that you would find a 1099 contract opportunity direct with a healthcare provider. I'm not saying that they don't exist, because they do. They are out there, but generally speaking, whenever it comes to outsourcing or per diem work, generally healthcare providers, large companies are going to contract with a vendor to do that recruiting for them and do that staffing for them. So in that case, the easiest way to find out about these positions, really, I find, is go out on LinkedIn and start connecting with all of these recruiters who work for these companies, follow the pages of all these companies. So really do your homework on where you want to work in the companies that have those opportunities. I did a podcast on LinkedIn. It was called Getting Noticed on LinkedIn, Strategies for Career Advancement. And I talk a little bit about that, how to use LinkedIn to promote yourself and then also to find another job. So you may want to give a listen to that. And then also there's another podcast I did called Landing Your Dream Job, Tips for Effective Career Planning, which also you may find helpful just in general. So LinkedIn is a great place to look for job opportunities. I've seen more and more come up on LinkedIn where a lot of these recruiters for these vendors are hiring, or just recruiters who are hired by facilities to go out and find them employees, you know, there's a lot of that out there. And I'm not talking about full-time employment, W-2 employment right now during this podcast, but just as an FYI, I'm seeing a lot more of that, particularly over on LinkedIn. And then another group that I'm a member of on Facebook, some of you may be a member of it, Jobs for American Medical Coders. There's always lots of job opportunities posted over there, and those are going to be a combination of W-2 and 1099. So that's a group that you may want to check out if you're looking for any type of coding position. And one last thing, since I mentioned some past podcast episodes. So I talked in this episode about the tax ramifications, tax liability, talked a little bit about getting your own liability insurance. There's a podcast that I did. It was actually a two-part podcast called Who Wants to Be an Entrepreneur? There was part one and part two. Part one was more about my story and my journey into having my own business. And then part two was more focused on the technical aspects of having your own business and things that you need to consider. And as I mentioned, as a 1099, you are really your own business entity. So you may want to give a listen to Who Wants to Be an Entrepreneur part two that I did a few months ago. And you may find that helpful in planning for a career as a contract coder working as a 1099. So after all that, I hope I've helped you determine whether or not contract medical coding is right for you. As I mentioned, I think it's most important to sit down and do the math and then also consult with a financial advisor and a tax advisor to make sure that it actually is the best choice for you financially. And before I wrap up today's podcast, I just want to thank all the loyal listeners out there. I've been getting some positive feedback from many of you. And I just want to ask a favor. If you're out there listening on Apple Podcast, if you wouldn't mind going out and giving us a rating and a review, it would be most appreciated. Obviously, we would like to see those 5-star ratings. And then just comments in general about how the podcast is helping you, that you're enjoying the podcast. That would be much appreciated if you could take a few moments and do that. And of course, it's also appreciated anytime you share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. That helps us get the word out. And just a reminder, if you have any questions for me, you can submit them to Ask Stacy. That's Ask Stacy. That's Ask STACIE at radrx.com. Ask Stacy at radrx.com. And I would love to get questions from listeners and I will answer them in future episodes. And then if you just have general feedback on the podcast or you have a suggestion for a topic for a future episode, feel free to email those at podcast@radrx.com. That's podcast@radrx.com. And actually, this podcast about contract medical coding actually came about as a result of a listener suggestion. So I do review those emails and I want to hear from you. I want to know what you want to hear about. If it's something that I feel that I can talk on and that I know something about, I will certainly do my best to address it in a future episode. So thanks again for listening, and I will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Who Cares What Stacy Says? You can connect with Stacy on social media. You can find her business page for RadRx on Facebook, and you can connect with her personally on LinkedIn. Don't forget to check out the online training courses offered by RadRx. Cracking the IR Code, Mastering Interventional Radiology and Cardiology Online Training, or Cracking the Diagnostic Radiology Code Online Training. Thanks again for tuning in to Who Cares What Stacy Says? A podcast providing insights and advice on how to take your medical coding career to the next level.